1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." I believe that's the way it ends. Yeah. And so I want to use that thought, especially the word hitherto. Hitherto, you know, reminds us of things that have taken place in the past. And this being your anniversary of your church, or well, I guess next week, really, isn't it, the date? But anyway, it reminds us of things in the past, but it also reminds us to look forward to the future. I mean, if God has blessed you in the past, then it just stands to reason that He's going to continue to bless you in the future. God is not weak, and, you know, He doesn't give up on people or churches or anything else. And as you look back over the years, these 55 years, and you think about all of the things that God has done for Olmsted Baptist Church and for you in particular, you be sure that God is going to bless you in the future. Now, let me get my computer going here. I have a little computer here that the Association for the Blind gave to me, and on the bottom of it, everything that you type into it comes out in Braille. And but also, I've gotten lazy now because it comes out where you can hear it. Also, that's the reason for the earbud. And so a lot of, some people have their notes written out, and I have mine typed out in this little computer, and I lug it around with me, and I'm so thankful what God has done for me since I've been blind. It's unbelievable. Used to be blind men, you just sat around on the corner and sold pencils, you know. But anymore, you can do just about anything that God calls you to do. And He supplies the wherewithal and the technology and so on. It's just wonderful to see how God works in certain situations. We have people, of course, that are paralyzed, and people that, have other problems. Look at Brother Ronnie Wolf. I'm sure most of you know him. We were there at his church last Saturday, and we sang, and said a word to help him along the way, and praise of him and of the Lord. And he'd been there 30 years now. And if you know Brother Wolf, you know he's had polio since the age of 5. And so he walks on crutches and cannot go anywhere without them. His legs just almost don't exist. But I'll tell you what, he's pastored at least 2 churches that I know of. He travels with the Bluegrass Boys and sings all over the place. We'll be singing in just a short time out in Illinois at Harrisburg with Brother Ronnie and others. And it's wonderful what you can do when God is in it, you see. And so I want you to think back and think about the hitherto. Think about what God has done for you and for this church. First and foremost, I want you to think back how God has given you a wonderful pastor. And you say, you know, a lot of people take pastors for granted. And they think, well, you know, sure. I had an old fellow tell me one time, stood and looked me right in the eye, and he said, "Preachers are a dime a dozen." He said, "I could preach." And I thought, brother, if you were a pastor, you could be three dozen for a dime. I mean, it's amazing what people think about pastors. They don't realize what a gift from God a good pastor is. And I haven't known Brother Duke very long now, but I said I knew his parents, and I knew how he was raised, and I've heard the stories about his life and so on. Met his wife and children, and I believe you have a good pastor. I really do. I think you ought to pray for him every single day. When you pray for your church and for your needs and for your health, you pray for your pastor that God will bless him and continue to use him in a special way. Nobody knows what a pastor goes through except maybe another pastor. And even then, every situation is different. And we were, you know, there having dinner last night. His wife had prepared it for us, and he got to eat about 5 minutes. The rest of the time, the phone was ringing. So that's the pastor's telephone. It's always there, going ding-a-ling-a-ling, and sometimes in the middle of the night. But pastors expect that, and they ask God to help them through all of the problems and trials. They have a situation there that nobody else could realize. And so thank God that he's given you a good pastor. You know, I heard a figure, I don't know how correct it is, that about a fourth of all of the independent Baptist churches around don't have a pastor right now. You know, we live in Cincinnati, and I can just go down the list and name you. These are not little churches either. Some of them are rather large, but they don't have a pastor. Their pastor has left because of some reason or another. They are having problems or whatever, and there they are without a pastor. What happens to a church without a pastor? Well, you know what happens. The attendance begins to dwindle. The people begin, every man doing what's right in his own sight, you know. And I'll tell you, you need a man that's willing to stand in the pulpit and deliver boldly the message from God's Word. And you thank God every day for your pastor. Like I said, if Brother Duke is anything like his dad, then I think he's a good man. And you've had him long enough now as a pastor that you know he's a good man. And so, hitherto hath the Lord blessed you. Now, I could go back and reminisce about, Brother Folger and others that have been here, and Brother Duval and Brother Harvey. Brother Harvey is one of my dear, dear friends. I was thinking when the pastor was standing here singing a moment ago that Brother Harvey and I used to sing duets all the time. Really enjoyed that. And I'd sit and listen to his fish stories. You know, they got bigger all the time. But him and Garner Smith go down to that lake and fill up a boat, and fillet those fish and have a great fish fry at the house. And Brother Harvey was known all over the place. And so you need to thank the Lord that hitherto He had given you good pastors, and that has not changed with Brother Duke. So you pray for him. You help him out. If he says, "Brother, can you help?" Will you do it? Say yes. Yes, I'll do it. It may be an inconvenience for you, but you do it, because the God has led that man here, just as He led you here to be a part of this church. Now, not only has the Lord given you a wonderful pastor, but you know, the Lord's given you some other things too. We were standing, Brother Duke and I, looking at this building, and we were reminiscing about how that the building was torn down over on, was it Red River? And they numbered the pieces and so on, and brought it over here and put it all back together like it was there on the river. And then as the years went by, you know, it wasn't long to get the beautiful parsonage. Also then the annex right here behind. All of a sudden, you know, the church invested in that, had a great fellowship hall. And then I call it a mission apartment. I know it was built primarily for missionaries, but others use it as well. And what a wonderful addition to the church plant, the church property. And my, if you could stand back and just look at what God has done on this piece of ground and these buildings, and hitherto hath the Lord blessed you probably more than any other country church that you can think of. And there's certainly nothing wrong with a country church. Boy, I tell you, I love them. We were talking last night at the dinner table. My hometown is Rabbit Hash, Kentucky. There in Boone County, right on the banks of the Ohio River, in a log cabin God saw fit to allow me to live. I was a blue baby. I was a 7 months baby. It was the middle of July, and it was 100 in the shade with no shade. But I was born there, and the doctor just left, and when he came back the next day, he said he expected to find me dead. But my grandmother took the old wood-burning stove, and she lowered the lid to the oven and put a shoebox with a blanket in it and put me in that shoebox and covered me with a warm towel, put others up on top of the stove. And then when that one would cool off, she'd switch the towels, you know. That was my incubator. Sure it was. God had something in mind for me. He wanted me to preach the gospel, as a matter of fact, for over 50 years. And, oh, I thank God for my grandmother and my mother and the way I was raised and so on. My dad was a deacon. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. And they were a great influence on my life. And the Addison Baptist Church, I could tell you about that. But, you know, we're talking about Olmsted Baptist Church right now. And what a blessing it's been to see this church sort of rise out of this countryside here. One thing I miss, the old bridge. You always knew when somebody was coming with the old bridge. I mean, those boards started to rattle and shake, and, you know, you got used to them. Did you ever live beside a train track? We did, and it got to where you didn't even realize the train was going by. You know, you couldn't hear that sound. You're so used to it. Well, that's the way with the old bridge. I remember those boards, they were crossways on it, and rattle, 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 across it they would go. there's so many things I remember. I remember Mark Dewberry had a hot rod. And he wanted the preacher to drive it. I think I'd already left. Maybe I was a missionary then when Mark had that hot rod. He'll have to tell you about that. I mean, it was a hot rod, too. That thing would get up and get. And so he wanted me to drive it. And so I got in it, and all we did was hit the high spots between here and all the way up to... He didn't know preachers could drive like that, you know, but had a great time. And with Mark and Shane and of course, Adrian and Elsie. And just folks that we can think back, you know, and just thank God for this church that it reached out into the homes and hearts of people in this community and is what it is today by the grace of God. Now, if you had ever been with me in Brazil, you would really appreciate your buildings and your air conditioning and your annex building and so on. We did the best we could there. I never did feel like we needed to build something fancy. They didn't have anything fancy, but we built something that was adequate. And the people, you know, chipped in, and God blessed. I had a degree in engineering before I was a preacher. And so we were able to build those buildings. And believe it, they're not. They're still standing. I wish you could see our building in São Paulo. Igreja Batista Bethel, Bethel Baptist Church, where God has blessed and blessed. We have the most beautiful building, I think, in the city of São Paulo. It's a city of 20 million, and we really worked at it. I mean, it's big and it's beautiful. It's got a ceiling in it that we had a man that was, he was a master carpenter. And he was out of work, and I said, well, I'll pay you so much money. That's all I had. Not much. If you'll put a ceiling in our church like I've seen you do in others. And it all these beautiful, they have some lumber there in Brazil that's just out of this world. And it looks like it's flames. Looks like it's caught on fire, only it hasn't. And he took and built that. And as it came in, then it began to step up toward a cupola, like in the middle of the building. And I'm telling you, when he got through with that, it was the envy of the churches of São Paulo. And, of course, our Olmsted Baptist Church sponsored that work and sponsored that church. Someday, boy, maybe, you know, we'll be able to see it. I don't know if when we go to heaven we'll still be able to look back on this earth. You know, we'll have a few years before everything's destroyed there in the last part of the millennium, at the end of the millennium. We'll have to wait and see. But if you do get a chance, take a look at that building and say, you know what? Our church was responsible for that building being there, and you will really be pleased with it. Okay. Now, we have some more wonderful things, and I'm not going to, you know, go on and on about this. But when I think about the document that this church was founded on, you know, every great country and so on has their constitution, and the United States of America, if they would follow the constitution, right, why, we'd be an even greater country than we are. But, you know, the Olmsted Baptist Church has a greater document than that, of course. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. And it tells you, there's not a mistake in it. It tells you everything just exactly like we ought to do it. And if we'll do that, then God will continue to bless. Oh, we'll fail. We're human beings, you know. But we ought to strive to do the very best that we can to follow that document called the Bible, right to the crossing of the T's and the dotting of the I's, and making sure that we do it God's way. When I went to Brazil, I had several mission organizations that really and truly, you know, they asked me if I would go with their group. And I had to tell them no. I know that some people disagree. But I looked up and I said, how am I going to decide what I'm going to do? I could hardly get around the state of Kentucky. I mean, what am I going to do? So I got out the Bible. And I looked and I found out that the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, I believe it was, it says that the church called, set him apart and put their hands on him and sent him out. And all the laborers that went along with him, Silas and so on, Barnabas, they too were men of the church. And so I said, that's the way I want to do it. I told a fellow last night over at Elkton, I said, I went one step too far. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, would you make me as much as possible like the Apostle Paul? You know what happened to my eyesight? I guess that the Lord, you got to be careful what you pray for. But in a way, it's been a blessing. Oh, no. There have been some hindrances, too, of course. But I have a wonderful wife. She's done a yeoman's duty to help me through the thick and the thin of being blind. And we do the Lord's work. We travel and sing here and there and everywhere. Keeping busy, and now as associate pastor at the Addison Baptist Church, I have a seniors ministry there, and then every month I have a youth ministry also. The youth are that's one of the strong points of the Addison Baptist Church, and sometimes on a Wednesday night, when it's good, they'll run the buses and bands, and we'll have almost 100 young people and children coming in on Wednesday night, and I get to preach to the target group, the older group, the teens. And that's a real blessing as well. And, I tell them about churches like Olmsted Baptist Church and so on that will sponsor people to go as missionaries and serve the Lord. And what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing you have in the Word of God that shows you just how to do it. Okay. Now, we have something that even the government does not have. We have, I suppose, the greatest army, standing army. I know they're not in numbers, but our technology, there's no one wants to mess with the United States. They may badmouth us and all of that, even China, but they don't fool around, seriously, with the United States. If they thought they could beat the United States, they would, but they don't. But let me tell you something. When the Olmsted Baptist Church uses the power that it has, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the world. I believe that that power is just the greatest power there ever was. That's the reason that we can go as missionaries, and we can go as evangelists, and go as pastors and workers in the church, and see God overcoming all kinds of situations and problems that we run into. You go up and you knock on a door, you never know what's going to happen, do you? I mean, usually, it's just you wait, and someone opens that door, and you've already prayed about it, and you say, well, Lord, what do I say? What do I do? It seems like it always works out. You either convict them of their sins, and they'll get right with the Lord, or they'll get mad, but some way or another, they're going to be touched, aren't they? And so, thank God that we have the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst. It's wonderful. Somebody asked me once, said, How can you go to Brazil as a missionary and have to learn the language and all of that and believing what you believe? Said, you believe that God is a sovereign God and you believe in the doctrines of grace and you believe in the five points of Calvinism. I'm not a Calvinist. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Baptist. Amen. But I tell you what, there were some pretty good points there. how could you go believing that? I said, I don't see how you could go not believing that. I mean, I can't even convince my own people here in the state of Kentucky to become Christians by myself. There's just no way. They're not going to, just all of a sudden convert because Ed Kittle says so. And so how am I going to go to a foreign country and do that under my own power? Well, I'll tell you what, with the power of the Spirit of God in my life and in my Word, I can go anywhere in the world. And God will see to it that that power just, you know, it proclaims itself through the preaching of the Word. I've never been a great preacher, never been a great evangelist. But I tell you what, when I think back of some of the things that happened there in Brazil, I can see those lakes, the people standing there lined up by the 19, 20, 25 people waiting to be baptized. I see the pictures that we took outside the buildings, and there's 100 and 150. The first church that we ever established in the city of Messejana, and built a building there. We built two buildings there, as a matter of fact. But I've preached over 600 people in that building. And these are just simple, plain Brazilian people. Our pastor, Brother Edson Barata, who serves there, has been there since 1972. And he is still faithfully proclaiming the Word. And God is blessing. And they've started probably a dozen churches. Done a lot more than this American missionary could do, by the way. But the Spirit of God is the power, you know, that we use and we depend on. Well, let me hurry on. Now, someone talked about the name Baptist, I think. I love Baptist history. I've learned a lot of what I know from Brother Duval, and he helped me tremendously. We traveled together, went up to Rochester, New York, to the Colgate Library there, and looked through their documents, you know. And like you said, a lot of them weren't worth looking at. But some of them were, and I wrote a little book on it. It's just wonderful to be a Baptist. Who was the old preacher, one of the famous ones? Somebody asked him, said, "Well, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist?" He said, "I'd be ashamed." So that took care of that situation real quick. And I'm glad that we're Baptists. I know Baptists don't go to heaven. God, saved people go to heaven. But after you're saved, I think you need to be a Baptist. I don't think there's any other way to satisfy the demands of God through baptism and so on than to be a Baptist, a New Testament kind of a Baptist. Okay. Now, these are just little things I jotted down here. But we have a wonderful place to work, a wonderful field to work in. You know, God doesn't just call you to go out and work to the people of Logan County and say, okay, that's it. That's all you can do. Why, no. This church has been involved in missions from day one. I mean, it's been, if it wasn't sending out missionaries, it was, supporting them, giving them a little money and so on along the way. But always, we have been concerned about the world. There are people in this world, red and yellow, black and white, that need to hear the gospel. And Olmsted Baptist Church, hitherto, has been helping those people and those missionaries to reach people for the Lord. And it will continue to do that. I really believe it. If we just depend upon the Lord and continue to follow the Word of God. I'm skipping over a couple things here. We have a wonderful promise from the Lord. This is something I thought was good. You know, the Lord said in Matthew, I am with you always. I know there's other words there, other things it says, but he said, lo, I am with you always. Now, it's not like the fellow that was afraid of the fly, and he took that to mean that, lo, I'm with you always, you know, down low. But anyway, the Lord meant what he said, that I'm with you always. Now, you may get in a predicament sometime where you think, wow, I don't know what's going to happen. I just can't figure my way out of this. It may be personal, you know, financial, children, whatever. It may be something in the church. It may be something in doctrine or whatever. But, lo, I'm with you always. And you just turn, first of all, to the Lord. I actually have heard of people that the first thing they do when they begin to have problems, whether it's in their own life or whatever, they quit going to church. Yeah, they have to sit back and think about it. Well, you need to be in the Lord's house where you can serve Him and have Christian friends and so on. Because hitherto the Lord has blessed you because of your affiliation with the church and, your, of course, your salvation, but being here as a member of Olmsted Baptist Church. You have a real privilege as a member of this church. Yeah. Now, Now, the last thing I wanted to talk to you about was, and you know, a lot of people don't like to think about this, but we have a wonderful reward coming from the Lord. We really do. Throughout the Scriptures, a lot of people don't, they think, well, that's not right to think that you actually work for rewards. Well, we don't work for rewards. We work for the Lord. But then, of course, God sees fit to reward us and to bless us. Jesus said in Revelation, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to men according to their works." And so when you work for the Lord, then you are going to receive a reward. I've heard a lot of songs. I'm not starting on songs. But anyway, some of them are good. You know, they're not inspired like the Bible. But there are songs that really and truly, God has just blessed those writers. And they talk about the rewards that we receive. The different crowns, for example, the crown of life and so on. Thank God that we will be rewarded for what we have done. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I've got other things that we could talk about, and maybe tomorrow I will. I have a story I'm going to tell you tomorrow that you will like. You really and truly will like. As a missionary from Olmsted Baptist Church to southern Brazil, there's something that you need to hear about that will just bless your heart. And I hope that you can be here tomorrow to hear that, and then I'm going to base my message on that actual story that happened. But I want you to think with me now what the Lord has done. Hitherto hath the Lord blessed you. And I know we need to raise that banner, don't we? Called Ebenezer. And show how the Lord has blessed us up until this point. But like's been said here already today, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, then you really and truly can't claim any of these great things that God has done for you. He's allowed you to live, I'll say that, and he's very long-suffering, and you need to take advantage of that. I mean, you need to think about that, how God is blessing you. You could have already gone on into eternity and never knowing the Lord. Now, I know, that God takes care of these things. I know that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. But I also know that the Bible is just chock full of verses that show our responsibility to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. You say, well, how do you justify? Well, there's some things that God knows more about than I do. But I do know that we are to follow Him and obey His Word. And He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He goes on and throughout the whole Bible, inviting people to come to Him for the forgiveness of sin. I trust today that if you don't know Christ, before this day ends, and before you lay your head on your pillow tonight, that you will simply say, Lord, I've sinned against you. Would you please save me? I trust you. I trust what you did on the cross of Calvary, how you gave your life. I believe with all my heart, Lord, that you did that for me. And you know what? God will save you. I can say that because in 1957, in the month of December, I was a 19-year-old man and never been in church that I could remember in all of my life. And all of a sudden, God got a hold of my heart. Some folks came and talked to me at my home about attending Addiston Baptist Church. My parents and I went to Addiston Baptist Church. We sat under the preaching of the Word. Mom and Dad were already saved, but backslidden. And I was 19 years old and never even had thought about salvation. Nothing. But I'll tell you what, when the Word of God was preached and the Gospel was declared and the Spirit of God penetrated my heart with that message of the Gospel, there was nothing that could have held me back that day. Down that aisle I went, and the preacher said, well, why are you coming? I said, I want to be saved. And now that's my experience. Yours may be different, but I'll tell you what, that's what God did for me on that night at the Addiston Baptist Church in December of 1957. And He's been a wonderful God ever since. And hitherto, He's blessed me, Hitherto, he's blessed you and your church with all of these blessings we've mentioned.